You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Rodo Experts in the Morning, live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Sussman, Modica, Angle, Parson, here chilling with you on... Oh, God.
I picked up the wrong headphones. I was about to have ball head juice on my Yankee hat.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what bald head juice is.
You don't want it on your Yankee hat. I put it like that.
Oh God, no. I'm good on that.
How you doing this morning, Greg Sussman?
I'm doing.
You had to do the Bed Bath and Body Works thing last night.
Not the full one. I did the full one already a couple weeks ago before I moved in. Yeah. Last night we were picking up some like loose ends, like a garbage, like a garbage can.
Yeah,
you need to be able to throw out the garbage.
The only place worse than Bed Bath and Body Works.
Bed Bath and Beyond.
I'm sorry. Bed Bath and Beyond is IKEA.
Oh my God.
IKEA is a disaster.
Remember that Sandler movie Click where they went actually to the Beyond in the back.
Yeah.
IKEA is Swedish for crap.
Yeah. IKEA is. They had one. You know,
I've never heard that one.
When me and Greg was, they had one where we lived at. Greg, when we was living in the same town,
absolutely.
I got dragged to that place every damn day.
I was there when I moved in. It's horrible. You know what's interesting? I'm very relaxed when I go into these things. For the most part, like I get myself worked up.
You are the Frank the Tank of Roto Expert.
So I went in there, and whatever, it was great. You walk down the escalator, you walk downstairs, boom, garbage cans. Fantastic. Great.
Nice.
We're done. We're never done.
You're never done. It's never over.
So then we had to walk to go find something else, and all I hear is, this effing store, it's horrible. The land's horrible. I'm like, will you chill out? Like, relax.
I hear that in Queens up too, but I'm agreed. Like, the Bed Bath & Beyond in Queens is like the worst. Like, the service,
I feel like everybody says
the service is the worst.
How many Yankee candles did you buy?
That was the other thing we had to get.
That is one thing. The Christmas cookie is a favorite.
I'm going shopping this weekend.
You're going to show?
Or Madden comes out tomorrow. I'm going to the video game store for that tomorrow.
So you're not going to Bed Bath & Beyond?
What's that?
You're not going to Bed Bath & Beyond?
I'm not going to Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm going straight to this video game store within 30 seconds.
I'm expecting a 4 a.m. email that he's not feeling well.
I can't.
I might not be.
It's mad.
I look forward to it every year, and it's like, you know, some people laugh at this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's like, I like playing it because it's such a great representation of the actual game. Like, the skill sets of the players are so well represented. You know, it's like, when I actually play like preseason games, I'm like, wow, that guy's actually, you know, got some speed that I didn't know about. Just like it's real fun, you know, strategically and everything. I love the whole simulation aspect of it. I look forward to it every year.
Yeah, you know, I don't do the Madden thing.
Yeah,
I don't do it. You know, power to you.
Yeah,
I just don't do it. All right, we're gonna get into when we come back on the program. I want to get into. Well, I'll tell you when we get back. I don't want to spoil it for you.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. And I wanted to get to this yesterday. We didn't have a chance to. But I wanted to know, as we head into the heart, as they say, of fantasy football season, fantasy football draft season, I wanted to know who, at this point, especially for the three of you guys, who has wound up with the majority of your teams at this point. We have... we was going to lead out the diversification conversation yesterday. We didn't get a chance to do it, so I wanted to do it now. I know early on, Matt, in your 20 leagues, I know Danny Woodhead was a thing, but as we kind of talked about at the top of the show, it quickly went away because the value went up. So even though I know you believe in diversification, you're trying to diversify your team, certain guys, especially in the middle rounds, they do end up on the majority of your teams because those are your guys, and I get it. So who have you found that has wound up on most of your teams here?
I mean, overall, it's the Danny Woodheads. I have like 5 or 6 shares of. Kareem Hunt, I think I have like 7 or 8 shares of. I mean, there's guys later on that I have a ton of, like the Rex Burkheads. But those guys, anything past like double digits, that's fine. But the players that the guy that's moved up, I've acquired a lot of in the past week and a half.
Yep.
Is Dalvin Cook. I mean, my Joe Mixon shares are up there too. Those are guys, and Joe Mixon sucked. His fall on this Jeremy News, Jeremy Hill hype, has been wonderful. Because I'll just sit there and I'll buy it all up, and now it's like 3-4 turn. So that's a wonderful thing if you can get him around there, end of the third, early fourth. Guys, I do want to get, as we reach this, you know, pinnacle as a sure. Paramount mm-hmm, company, mm-hmm. I do want to get some more Duke Johnson shares. He's a guy. I will be willing to pay up and acquire even more shares of Kareem Hunt. Because, like I said, over the last month, over the last couple of weeks, I haven't gotten as many as I had in the past.
Okay.
So I want to kind of bring that back up. Wide receivers, I realized yesterday my draft champions, I took Odell at 7 like I said I would if he was there. I got Brandon Cooks in the second round. I only have a couple of Brandon Cooks shares. I do want a couple more of that if possible. But that's more like the first and second rounds, you really can't dictate that. That's more on your draft spot and, you know, where you're picking from. So if you have the 5th pick, you're not picking until sure. late in the second, so you got to basically get what's there.
So let me ask this. You have, this may be a very silly question, but you talk about, all right, you have a couple of shares of certain guy you want more. You have a lot of Kareem Hunt, but you want more. You have a bunch of Danny Woodhead. You have Joe Mixon. You have all these guys. Do you have a spreadsheet with how many times you draft every player?
I have all my teams.
You do?
Right, I have all my teams right here.
So there you go. I guess it was a silly question.
I know. You have to see what you have. Like,
right.
I'll tell you one guy today. I'm doing a draft champions. I'm picking. I'm like 3 picks away in the third round. I want Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
He's a guy that, in that middle of the third, to me, is a fine pick. I think the running might be more than people think. I think I'm higher on this Carolina team than others are.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a Cam rebound. I know the offense is changing. But regardless, the one thing about Christian McCaffrey is these receptions are going to save him. I know Cam in the past has had a terrible short yardage percentage and all that. But I think Cam is a great player. He's maybe not the most prolific passer.
Sure.
But, you know, when you get... He can work with the talent. The guy's a winner. So
now Matt, you're looking at best balls or just 12 teams are going to play out?
Oh, both.
Okay.
Yeah, with Cam, he's a special talent. As a pure passer, he's still got some work to do. We've seen the best and the worst of him over the last 2 years. Maybe we fall somewhere in the middle this year, but McCaffrey, he's like a special talent. So, you know, I'm not against anybody who's going to be high on him necessarily. In a PPR, I love him in a standard less, but I think he could score 6 touchdowns from like 15 or more, you know, yards out. But I worry a little bit about consistency with a guy like that. I think Carolina can be better. Yes, I think they're probably an 8-8, 9-7 team that's just going to miss the playoffs, but they won't embarrass themselves like they did last year.
Let me ask you this, Scotty, because you've obviously drafted, we all have, probably combined, drafted less teams than Matt Modica here thus far.
Right.
And Matt, show me.
I think I've drafted maybe 10% of what Matt has.
Sure. So, no, Matt has showed it, turned the computer around. He literally has a spreadsheet of every player and every team that he has
drafted. How many total teams do you have, Matt?
You said like 20 yesterday.
It's around. Yeah. I did sign up. I was I was supposed to do something with my wife, but she had to go travel today. So I will be doing an online championship.
Yeah, you could have done the GSD auction.
I could have done it. I was in it, and then I backed out because my wife's pretty cool with me. She doesn't, you know, she's a cool wife, but she's out of town for 2 days.
Yeah. I used to run it at 18 to 20 range, right, and stuff like that.
But a lot of them are
best ball.
Yeah. And I do have a partner on significant share. And just to let people know, like, even next week in the bigger leagues, I'm partnering with Andy Jackson on two big leagues, Chris Vaccaro on one, and I'll have like the New York Super and one primetime solo.
See,
so it's not like I'm taking, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm just burning money up. You got to share the risk and stuff.
See, that's good for him for, well, two things. I 4 years ago, I had like 18, you know, full season leagues. But with Matt, it's good for him because, like, he's sharing a lot, and it's not always easy to find the correct partner when you're partnering up somebody you totally feel comfortable with. So, you know, Matt, like, you know, is in those circles with guys like Chris and Andy Saxon, you know, where there's kind of like a like mindset. Doesn't it make it easier to share with a team like that? Because I've shared, and like sometimes I'll share with, and I'm not trying to talk down to nobody, but like a mainstream player, and they'll be very like, you know, passionate about what they feel. And I just can't agree with what they do. No, Dom and I actually was shared 2 years in a row. It's like we know how each other operates. But I've actually quit ownership with other people in the past. You know, I had one guy who like was putting up $5,000 for a league, and he said, "You'll get half. You don't have to put up a cent as long as you help me." But I quit because, you know, we would have too many debates where, like, I put the money up, it's my final decision, you know, it's like things like that.
That is true, though.
Yeah, but
why then? Why come get them?
I understand that, but ultimately,
yeah, but you feel comfortable with a lot of the guys though because you guys play in a lot of the same circles.
Me and Andy have had success, and when I partner with somebody, look, unless I'm adamant, I'm willing, you know. I'm willing to see what guys he likes. Look, he loves DeSean Jackson. That's the one thing that I was like, well, yeah, we have enough DeSean Jackson. And I like him too, but I'm like, we have enough DeSean Jackson.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, so that happened with me and Dom real quick. I'm sorry. Like, we're like, he'll go, we're really butting heads about a pick. I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to give you this one, but the next one, you can't debate me on it because I'm going to get my guy when we come back.
Now, I didn't want to get too much in the partner conversation. It's a good conversation to have because people do like playing with partners. And I've said it on many occasions to you, Scott. Like, it's awesome to be able to be a partner because nobody really gives a crap about your fantasy team besides you. And when you have one other person that they bounce ideas off of, it's fun. It makes it a lot more fun.
When I go to the Major League clubhouses, there are so many guys that share. It's a big thing with the Major League baseball players. Like, I remember Prince Fielder and Casey McGee when they played on the Brewers together. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys do it. Fielder wrote the check. McGee ran the team. The next year they won the championship, and they were arguing to me whose championship it was. The guy that made the moves is the real champion. I think
the owner is the real champion because he hired the guy that made the moves.
Hiring somebody, that's anybody can do that. But, you know, I know on the Diamondbacks, I was talking to somebody the other day.
He had to hire the right person, though, Scott.
It's the guy who makes the move does all the work.
So is Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Cubs, does he get a ring? What I'm saying is
the guy that did the moves is more important than the guy who cut the check.
Well, you got to cut the check in order to get the guy that makes the moves.
I'm saying, you know, I'm not saying he's totally irrelevant, but I think the guy that made the moves is way more important. But the other thing I was going to say, I was talking to somebody for the Diamondbacks. They got four guys sharing one team. Four guys.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Although with BFFs, we tried to have four, but Eric Young wasn't around.
He was winning championships.
He was winning his own championships. Scott, have you gotten to a point, I knew you know, 4 years ago you said you had 18 leagues that you played out.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to the point where you were like Matt and you actually had to put a spreadsheet in to not remember yet? Like,
I wouldn't
be able to do it.
Not a spreadsheet, but like, you know, like I drew like a chart and like hung it up in front of my desk at home. Yeah.
I also, Matt, and I know a lot of those are best ball. How many are played out leagues? Or how many will you do by the time it's all said and done? How many leagues will you have to play out?
It's probably going to be like 13, but I'll have a partner on the majority of those. Maybe only ones I'll have to do solo. I'll probably have to do like 5 on my own.
New York Super Solo, right?
Yeah, New York Super Solo.
Okay.
But the best pool I love. I mean, best pool.
I understand. But how do you, and even if it's Andy, right? How do the two of you remember to honestly check every team every time, every day, right? Like, put those fab bids in every day.
No, you do. Look, I mean, I will even cut down next year in baseball.
All right. I want to have more conversations about playing in multiple leagues when we come back. You're on the Road to Rockford in the morning.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
It's hard, man. Owning all these teams. And I said this,
They do have it. Wow. Interesting. Now, I'm looking at my shares right now, right? I have my ownership report.
Okay.
And the number one player right now...
That you own the most.
That I own the most on 60% of my rosters.
It's over half.
Including last night.
Okay.
Is Ted Ginn Jr.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't even know that.
I would not have thought that. Ted Ginn Jr. is on 60% of my rosters. It's a tie. And Davante Adams is also on 60%
really?
Of my roster.
You never really talked. Davante Adams hasn't really been your guy.
Mm-mm. And I was about to buy him last night. He went for the same price as T.Y. Hilton. And I'm thinking he should go higher. He should go for more than T.Y. Hilton because he got a healthy quarterback.
You were drafting last night. These two guys you got last night, right?
Yeah.
Were you thinking about your other leagues at all?
Yes. Yes, that's why
still ended up at 60% of your roster.
Well, Ted Ginn Jr. is a bench player. You feel what I'm saying? So I don't mind being overexposed to Ginn Jr. because if he don't pop, I can cut him. Now, Davante Adams, last night, I got off Adams and I went T.Y. T.Y. went for 27. Adams went for 28. So there are players in that same range, in that same tier. So, you know, that's an example of diversification. Also, I have Corey Davis on 40% of my teams. I took Rashad Matthews last night. I have Kareem Hunt on 40% of my teams. Dalvin Cooks is at 40% also.
Interesting, because like the flex draft and the GST draft were in the same location, and they got the same quarterback in both drafts, Kirk Cousins.
Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, well, when we speak about diversification, I just want to make something clear here. In the first five rounds, that is your foundation. That is your core. If you hit on that, you know, if those are solid picks, you should be in contention at least. The thing is, when I say I diversify, I'm drafting like players. I'm not going off my board and stuff like that.
You're sticking with the same tiers?
Yeah, I have a tier. So, you know, if it's whatever it may be, a couple of guys here or there. The other thing, too, is once you get later in the draft and you just want to bang out, say, for Scott Cooper Kupp in every draft.
Yeah, of course.
Me,
do
like
it.
Rex Burkin.
Do
That's
it.
Fine because if they don't hit, like
you can cut
them. You just cut them.
I haven't been able to do it. You know what happens, too? And like Corey knows this. Like, you play in leagues where people listen to the show or know what you do. And I had this a lot Sunday. I called up my friend screaming at him because he kept doing it to me. Every time they know a player, every time.
Was he smacking you on your butt? Stop smacking me on my butt, Bob.
Corey Parson, 8:45 a.m. yesterday. Maturity, Scott. Maturity. Right? Anyway, like, they know what players I like. If I'm an auction, they'll bid them up, or they'll. I won't get my guy because I'll get somebody coming up to me like going, in the 10th round, we take Cooper Kupp. Screw you. So, but I only have Cooper Kupp on one of my rosters so far, but I got Dwayne Washington in every single league.
So you can see that.
He's my last round pick in every single league.
So you're getting some of your guys. You get, people are taking the good ones, the Cooper Kupp.
Well, you know, yeah, it's, people will know your good predictions. It's like, you know, you may have had Bishop Sankey a few years ago, and I didn't draft him at all.
Well,
yeah.
We do need to get Scott a Dwayne Washington jersey.
I agree.
Or hey. Kirk Cousins. I can't wear it, though.
I can't.
Why? I can't.
Why?
It's against my religion.
It is your religion.
We'll tell Russell.
Considering we are the same religion, it's not.
Well, it's against my football religion.
That's not a thing. I can't wear any team but the Seahawks. Football religion is not a thing.
Okay, for me it is.
Oh, it's just like rotations in fantasy baseball is a thing for me. Boom, put it on the board.
Rotation, let's not get into that because that doesn't make sense at all.
Neither does football religion.
Some people say football is my religion.
Some people say football and baseball rotations are a thing.
It's wrong. You can't rotate around.
Why is that
you can't
wrong,
rotate pitchers in fantasy baseball.
You can't have a religion in football. Not no, a thing.
People like joke and say football's like a religion for me.
And people joke and say they have a fantasy baseball rotation.
No, people say seriously in articles that this is my fantasy baseball rotation, but I'm saying you don't start a different guy anyway. Anyway, about the Dwayne Washington thing, if you buy it from me, I'll put it on my wall, but I'm not going to wear it.
Yeah, I'll say probably my most owned receiver looking at things here is Doug Baldwin.
Interesting. Scott's a big fan.
Not wow, really?
I don't have Baldwin at all.
Just that second
I like him. I like Doug Baldwin. Yeah,
so good. And I've picked a lot between like I've gotten a fifth pick a lot.
Yeah,
and maybe like seven or eight. So when you come back around there, I mean, I don't. He's just.
I want to ask you guys a question, though. Listen, it's not even a fantasy
question.
Just
what
you think.
Before you do, I want to sum up something.
Okay.
Okay. Your question. I want to sum up the conversation we're having, Scott. And I'll go right back to you. I promise.
So, I promise I trust you.
Remember, so you mentioned, now you're talking, this kind of led into the diversification of rosters again. And yesterday's conversation was spoken by my friend Russell, right? So yeah. He listened to the show yesterday, and he said this to you guys. I understand why Matt differentiates when there's money involved, but I believe that you guys have to understand that the average person listening to your show is looking for advice that is not even in the same atmosphere of the same volume of leagues that all of you guys play in. Most of the people listening, they do one league, and they want the expert's biggest opinion. When they only catch a show where you're talking about the volume, it's diversification that's helpful with a lot of leagues, but he goes, what I'm looking for as someone that's an average player that plays in this one league, I don't want to be confused hearing you draft this guy, you draft this guy, you draft this guy. I want to know then I'm in my one friend's league, there's people that do the bare minimum research, right? Go to ESPN, go to rotoexperts.com, exclusive edge package, you Sussmania, you print out the King's rankings, and that's it. That's your research, right? Like, there's people that will buy our package, and honestly, not even utilize it, unfortunately. There's all this fantastic stuff in it. They'll buy a package, they'll print your rankings, Scotty, and they'll look at the first two rounds, and that's it.
Well, look, if you don't.
Wait, hold on. I can make a team of Matt Modica's guys. You know, if you listen to the show every day, he diversifies.
Sure.
But you know his guys are like Kareem Hunt, Danny Woodhead, Christian McCaffrey. Those are clearly his guys.
Sure. And I don't disagree. Yeah.
Well, look, if you're doing one draft, say your friend's doing one draft,
yes.
Whether it's Scott's rankings, Jake's rankings, he wants, that's the guy he's going to go with.
Sure.
Okay, mm-hmm. You take those rankings and you say, this is where he has them. And you draft that. That's fine. Or you want to say, you know what, this is my one league. I like fantasy football, but certain guys I want to root for and have on my team.
Yes.
Then you go and do it that way.
Of course.
It's how you want to do it. I'm going to state, like I said, there are guys I like. I'm going to talk about them all the time. But, you know, there are people that don't play in the high stakes, that do play 7-8 leagues.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
there are people, absolutely.
I was in the Major League Clubhouse the other day. These guys, some of them are not really like they're mainstream players, but they play in three.
Sure. Here is the summation. He goes, I just feel like at the top of drafts, you guys should be consistent so the audience gets a true feel for their opinion on the biggest decisions that they will face.
And that's why, And that's why I started going over my ownership percentages. You know what I'm saying? Telling you the people that I have the most.
Who are your guys?
Devontae. Yeah. Well, the way it looks right now,
Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams is my guy.
We clearly know who your guys are and who aren't. Yeah.
Kareem Hunt's my guy.
Yeah. Did you know Devontae Adams was his guy? I didn't. I'd sit next to him every day. I had no idea.
But I can make it. I can make two teams listening to Corey every day. One guy, one team that like he loves. And then I can make another team of guys who would never have on his roster. It'd be an entire roster.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. But I think where people want to hear the most, like, I feel like the number one question, at least I get, and you guys can all speak to this yourself on your own Twitter accounts and inside the Exclusive Edge Package, Scotty. The most common question I get is, I have the 8th pick. What do I do in the first two rounds?
Yep, you were saying that yesterday, yeah.
People aren't looking 5th, 6th round. We do a fantastic job breaking it down because I think it's extremely important to do it. The most common question we get, and I'm sure it's
I think that's the biggest mistake, though.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly, Matt. I do.
That's the biggest mistake.
I wholeheartedly agree with that statement, and that's why we do go into the middle rounds. But, Scott, the most common question is, I have the 8th pick. What do I do? And I feel like we need to be, I guess, consistent in that answer. And that's why your guide to the first round is a good column.
You know why? You know what, though? When I have the conversation, and I updated my first round guide on rotoexperts.com, available this morning, an exclusive edge package, people say, what do you do with the 8th pick? I answer that question, but then I say, and from there, you do this, this, and that. So it gets them thinking about the rest of the draft, because like Matt says, just thinking about your first pick is a mistake. Now, look, fantasy players, you tell them over and over what's a mistake like Matt just does. They're going to do it. People are still going to have, if they're mainstream players, I've come across people like, I said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you write about. I'm taking a quarterback in the first round. I'm taking a defense in the 8th because that's the best player left at the position. I don't care what you say. I want the best defense.
I mean, look, what do you do with the 8th? Say whosever rankings they're following, they have their own rankings.
Right.
If Mike Evans was their 6th best player, and Evans is there at 8, then take Mike Evans.
Yeah.
If that's who your best player. Some people feel they have to have that running back in the first two rounds. So if you feel more comfortable with a Melvin Gordon at 8 and the wide receivers that will be there in the second round, then take Melvin Gordon at 8 and get the wide receiver in the second round. It's more of an individual thing, a comfort zone. Like I said, some people, like even Jake, you hear Jake say it every day. He's getting a bell cow back in the first two rounds. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's the accuracy expert, all that, plays in all these expert leagues and all that kind of stuff. And that's his motto. I hear it every day. So certain people have a plan. And look, just have a plan. I mean, you can get a feel. It's not going to be exact with the ADPs. But like I said the other day, if you put it on an Excel draft board, it makes it a lot easier.
We'll take a break. When we come back, it was very helpful, guys, to have that conversation. When we get back, you know, Corey, you want to take a look at some of the running backs?
Yeah, my flex PPR. Got some issues.
Got some issues. We try to fix those issues here on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Running backs, Corey, trying to fix this team already. But the one thing that I need to bring up immediately was what you were saying during the break that you were trying to go over. And that was all right, I got this one team on CBS. I got this one team on ESPN. I got these two teams in my fantasy. I got no Yahoo teams. This is it. This is an issue, man. Like, you have so many teams. I don't. We talked about this with Matt a second ago. You have so many teams. And a lot of these teams play out. They're not best ball. They are redraft leagues that play out that have fab. You can't even count how many on which platform.
I'm looking at it right now. No. The mic was on. That doesn't count. That doesn't count. That does not count. That the mic was on. I'm looking at it right now, and I'll be honest, I'm going to have to start, you know, figuring it out, because my guess is I'm going to have 12 to 14 redrafts, you know what I'm saying? And probably be 10 of them have a nice size bag on it. So I'm like, oh boy, we got it. But it is what it is, what we do. And, you know, as they start to drop out, as one or two, because my teams don't drop out of contention, man. As one or two of them start to drop out of contention, then I might call up my homie Rel, be like, yo, Rel, take this joint over for me, see if you can get it to the playoffs, whatever the case may be. But In flex PPR is a free league, but still, I got to defend my championship in this, so it's important. You feel what I mean?
You got your
industry joint. You know what I mean? You know how that is, right there.
Don't want to finish. You
know. Yeah, I don't want to be. You know, and Scott talking about, oh, you want someone nine?
Yeah. By the way, so you need help. Give me 5 years from now, you'll still hear about that.
Oh, I know, yeah. I know, I will. But listen,
he'll start 0-9 again.
I play you in week one, so I'll be 1-0.
You know what though? You're aware of that, and I'm not. You're obsessed with me, right?
All right, so here we
go. Already admitted that some of your teams are going to drop out of contention, so I'm glad you're honest this morning.
If you have 13 teams, the way you talk,
like you say every team's going to win the championship.
Yeah, even the best players.
I know.
You
know.
You just can't.
I'm just sticking it to him while he talks.
Matt, I do have to ask you something that Corey, Scott, and I have had many conversations about. You're in all these leagues. Do you look at your opponents at all during the week or on game day, or no? You look at your matchup. Do you look at your matchup?
Like, who am I playing? I'll definitely see who I'm playing. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
All right, I'm just wondering.
No, because Scott don't care about who he's like. Scott just be like, I worry about my lineup, my team.
He's playing good money games. Like Scott's approach on Sunday.
Yeah.
His mental approach before we walked into the JST.
Yeah.
Was solid. I got to give him that. He came there. He was confident in himself outside. It wasn't really,
he wasn't talking too much trash, stuff, like he normally is.
He had the...
No air guitar.
But he had the look, the eye, whatever.
And he did not like the excitement from the BFFs.
He did not like that.
I'll tell you what.
No, I came to play.
Scotty's like, Sunday's really, is really his day off. Like, he works in the morning, and he goes and sits on the couch and watches football, and he doesn't even look at fantasy. He doesn't bother with it.
Well, it's going to be interesting.
It's not like I don't look at fantasy. Here's what I do on Sunday. It's like, I don't look at the opponent.
You don't look at your team, you don't look at your score either.
I don't look at the opponent because I can't control that, and I don't want that extra.
You can't control any of it on Sunday. No, your lineup's locked,
no,
man.
No, I can't. What I'm saying is I can't. Well, whoever they start and sit, the only thing I can control is who I start and sit. Now, in order to not stress myself, I don't check live scoring until 7:30, but I'm aware of who I have and what they're doing. So I get a feel for what's going on.
Right, but your computer's away, you're just watching the game.
The computer's not away because I'm watching a game on it.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
sure.
You know, and then checking some other things, but... You know, email and stuff, but you know, like.
Thanks for clarifying the other things you're checking.
Yeah.
Kiss message board.
Says the guy who checks Snapchat during the show.
Hey, you want to see? Rake it up. All right. Anyway, so I got a dilemma, y'all.
You got a dilemma? You need tutoring?
Oh, boy, here we go. No.
You need tutoring?
No, I don't need tutoring.
He needs us to tutor him.
All right. Yo, my flex PPR. You know where I got that belt from Fantasy Jocks? Shout out to the good people over at Fantasy Jocks. Got to defend that. And I'm looking at my running backs. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know who I'm going to start in week one. Listen to these backs. Devontae Booker, he's injured.
Can't start him.
Ezekiel Elliott, he's suspended.
Can't start him.
Tim Hightower.
Can't start him.
Kareem Hunt.
You got to throw Hunt.
He sounds like the winner thus far.
Jonathan Stewart.
All right. Doable, I guess.
James White.
Yeah, White's possible.
Good options.
Start James White.
This is going to be tough right here, though. I might get off to a slow start.
Well, you know what? I talk about this a lot. We'll definitely have this conversation. You start James White, you have Kareem Hunt, your running backs are done Thursday. Boom. Big bang, boom. Done.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But then my wife, Dez Bryant, Brandon Cooks, Michael Crabtree, Deshaun Jackson, Jarvis Landry. So the pieces is there in the wide receiver core. I'm going to struggle with these running backs all year. This team was drafted before the Zeke suspension was 6 games. This is when the suspension was 2 games. I need Kareem Hunt. I need Kareem Hunt to win this starting job outright.
Did you say Jock Quiz was on that team?
No, Jock Quiz not
okay,
on this
team.
That's
a different team.
I may have to make a trade before week one. Which is one of the dumbest things you can do in fantasy football is make a trade before the season starts.
What about, now we're talking right now, and I dealt with this the other night. What about trading draft picks? How do you guys feel about that?
I love it. I'm not saying that
I'm against anybody who does it. I don't personally do it because I believe I can draft from any position and be comfortable with it. How do you guys feel about it?
Yeah? I don't believe that to be true.
Says the guy who already needs to make a preseason trade.
I don't believe that to be true.
Who guys already needs to make a preseason trade? Well, who's taking two teams and saying, "Oh, they might drop out of contention."
You know my answer to that. I love it. So we have a draft next Wednesday. Yeah. And I like my spot when we draft. When we decided it, I'm in the 10th pick. I love it. But I'm going to tell you what. If all of a sudden Odell Beckham just starts falling, I will desperately try and trade up. I will absolutely do whatever I can to trade up in the draft. We have it every year. We do a live baseball draft. We do a live football draft. And our pick, trades for picks every single year in these drafts.
Yeah, I think that's, look, if that's what makes it fun, I think... However, for me, how it should work out is when, like, say you do a randomizer and it's 1 through 12, if you have the first pick,
yep,
you should be able to pick your spots. If you want to keep the first pick, I think, you know, maybe you have the sixth pick, you don't like it, you'd rather pick 12 or 10th. That's the only thing I'd say.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And we tried to do that before, it hasn't worked out. But I love it. I absolutely love being able to make a trade on draft day, Scotty. Four draft picks to be able to move up and down the draft board. I think it's extremely important to have that ability to maneuver. I love it.
Yeah, Archie Bradley and T.J. McFarland at Diamondbacks were telling me the other night that they made three pre-draft trades already, and we're looking to make a fourth.
See,
I can't. I just think it's a bad idea.
People just love trading. Dave Richard, maybe we should get him on from CBSSports.com one day just to talk about the man is more addicted to trading than anybody I've ever met. I really feel like he would trade his dog for like a first round.
Jake likes tweeting as well, by the way.
Tweeting?
Sorry, tweeting. I see.
Trading.
I said tweeting.
Yeah.
Did you say? Now you got me confused. Did I say tweeting?
I said tweeting.
I said tweeting.
Yes.
He likes tweeting as well, but he also likes trading. That's why I told Corey to go to Jake and the Flexley.
You know what's really cool though? My Dynasty startup auction we had, like, you know, during the break, I'm working on this. You know how we talk about, like, Corey will say, you gonna hold your guy on the bench to like week five or just cut him? You know, this has a 25 man roster, six, and five of those guys are practice squad, and they have to be first to third year. And you put them on your practice squad.
I always love those kind of rules for young guys.
I like that because, you know I'm in on Dwayne Washington. I'm putting him on my practice squad. And if when he hits, I'll move him off of the practice squad.
A little taxi squad.
Yeah.
I always love the...
I like that.
I like that. I like the ability to own minor leaguers. Corey, let me ask you. We in my league last year, we put an extra called bench spots in there. So a little bit longer draft. And I'm wondering what you think of the extra bench spots. And I know you're playing a lot of 20 round leagues, so you have those extra bench spots. You have 10 bench spots in a lot of leagues. The GST, in all honesty, is my first experience doing that. But...
Well, what did you think of it?
Last year, my other league, we had an extra bench spot. I enjoyed it, right? A lot of people did not because it left a lot less free agents out there to maneuver, right?
And that's what I like about it.
I did too.
It puts more importance on the draft.
Well, it does, but also they felt that it allowed people to just stash too much. Like, everyone was just stashing. It wasn't like skill anyway. It was just, all right, I'm going to stash. Every handcuff is stashed. Every backup quarterback is stashed. There's very little room to maneuver on the waiver wire. And that bothered them. So we actually cut back bench spots back here in 2017.
I'd rather deep roster than the shallow waiver wire.
Yeah, me too.
I'd rather that. I think it's much easier. It puts it back on draft day.
Right.
It kind of removes some of the luck from it, and it puts it back on draft day. Draft a good team. You feel what I'm saying?
I do.
That second flex also makes it easier, you know, when it comes to putting your lineups together. Because look how many weeks you're going to leave points on the bench. When you get that second flex spot, you don't leave that extra point on the bench. Remove the kicker and put that second flex spot.
I agree. I totally agree. I have two flexes. I have two flexes over a third wide receiver, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can do it that way.
But I'll do both. I'll put a third flex button in. I think more flex is more fun.
Yeah, me too.
Why not? Yeah, super flex, you know.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Balances the quarterback
out. It does. I haven't gotten the super flex thing yet. I got to get into
it. I haven't done it for no money yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't gotten into that yet, personally. Well, you know, I'm open to anything, Scott.
Yeah, I am too. It's like the one thing I'm not in this year that I'd like to get in is an IDP league.
I don't mess with that.
I haven't been in one in like 3 years.
I remember when you used to play in one.
Yeah.
Actually.
The first fantasy football league I ever played in, official one, was 1994.
Oh,
and it was an IDP league. What, are you jealous of me because I've been playing longer than you do?
1994.
Way back in 1994 when I played in the fantasy football league and I won the first time.
Says the guy with gray in his beard.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, they still on me. You feel what I'm saying, son? Tell me some more about 1994 and you winning this league in 90. You winning this 10-team league in 94.
No, it was a 14-team league, IDP, and I won. It was the first time I ever played.
For the Knicks, to show you how far we've
there you go. Yeah. Exactly.
That's how long I've been playing.
Yeah, I don't joke that I will not make. We'll move on.
Accomplished is what it is.
We take a break. I was six years old in 94.
I'm only 50 years old right now.
You're 51.
No, I'm 50.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Take a break. When we come back, more Fantasy Football Talk. It's Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Rutgers in the Morning. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is crazy.
What's crazy?
Nothing. The preseason is coming back, by the way. Preseason week 3 is coming back. And I'm very excited. Everyone's going to play now. I mean, this is the 1 week you give a crap, right? About the preseason? Or no? Do we still like it?
No, I definitely want to catch some games this weekend, see some of the action, especially that first half work. And then I think next week, for week 4, all the games are on Thursday. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My homies, I know somebody with the Ravens, and they going down to NO for that game. I wish I could join them. But I'll be here, you know what I'm saying, making sure everybody getting ready for their drafts and stuff like that. But this is definitely going to pay attention to some of the things going on this weekend. Obviously, a lot will be, you know, for fantasy purposes, you know, and then it'd be good to see some real football on, because I think we really get a half of it this week. I want to see if O.J. Howard is going to get more involved. He's been excellent in practice, but Cameron Brate is catching a lot of the passes. And I also want to see my guy Kareem Hunt, because I'm getting to the point now where I need Kareem Hunt to have a nice piece of that timeshare coming out the gate for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I want to see what he looks like in his work. And I want to keep, you know, keep an eye on some of these rookies and stuff like that. I want to see what Eric Decker looks like also, because I'm hearing good things about Decker. So I'm definitely going to be paying attention. Obviously, we won't see Odell this weekend, you know what I mean? So it'd be nobody dancing.
Dancing.
I shouldn't have started.
Let me bring it back a little bit, just to tonight, because there's two games tonight on the preseason week 3 slate. Two games tonight. The first one begins at 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's Jay Cutler and the Dolphins against Philadelphia. Scott, what are you looking for in that game?
You know how Cutler looks another week in that offense. I believe Jarvis Landry is going to turn into a different receiver with Cutler. Everybody has a model as a possession guy, but I believe his skill set is more. He has more talent than that. I think there could be less receptions and more touchdowns and some more yardage this year. So I'm interested to see how he is going to get involved tonight. Very interested to see that. On the Eagles side, Alshon Jeffries got off to a slow start in the preseason. I want to see how that connection is certainly working out. And I'm very interested to see how Wendell Smallwood just actually looks tonight. And, you know, since his dress rehearsal, how much does he play? How much does Blunt play, et cetera?
Yeah, Jarvis Landry's a guy that's slipping. He's falling in drafts. Mm-hmm. And I still like him. I don't think he's, you know, like Scott said, we've seen that Cutler. I know everybody says he's just going to throw the ball down the field to Devontae Parker, but guys like Eddie Royal have had success. Landry is a very talented, proven receiver in this league. Has as many catches as Odell Beckham over the last three seasons. So I do want to watch that. I want to see how Cutler's looking. And what else? The Eagle game. I think, you know, you want to see Alshon Jeffrey a little more in tune with his offense, especially after last week when he didn't really seem to know where he was lining up. But I think he'll be fine. The other thing will be the Wendell Smallwood, how he's looking versus LeGarrette Blount.
Also, tonight, 7:30, you got CMC, as you like to call him, the Carolina Panthers. Cam's first preseason action, first chance playing with Christian McCaffrey here tonight, Corey. You got the Panthers and the Jaguars.
Yeah, I definitely want to see Cam get out there for the first time. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is a player of interest. Right now, I like him in round 5 as an RB2, so more than likely, I'm not going to have him because the hype train is rolling. And last night's auction that we did, you know what I'm saying? He was the highest priced rookie running back.
Highest price rookie running back. Of course, my auction, all the rookie running backs went for about the same price, $38, which is obviously very expensive. How much did they go for you, Cooper?
Who's that?
McCaffrey went for $28, Fournette for $27, Mixon for $23, Cook for $27.
Yeah, so there you go, Christian McCaffrey. He and that thing we did last night. You know what I'm saying? But listen, I get it. I get the upside, especially in PPR, but I don't want people to overrate what this kid's going to do. Like, I'm hearing to catch 70 passes. I'm like, whoa, calm down. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Catch 70 passes. You know what I'm saying? Like, David Johnson catch 70 passes.
Yeah.
50 is a good number.
I think 50 is a good number. Yeah. He's a special.
So are you comfortable with McCaffrey as an RB1?
No, it's an RB2, yes, but in PPR.
What round is an RB2?
Maybe mid to late fourth.
Will he get him there, Matt?
I don't think so anymore.
He's like my 15th ranked running back.
I think he's going to be mid third to late third.
Yes, I want to end up with him. But he's a special talent, that kid.
I don't want to be left out, but I don't want to pull the trigger too early.
I'm with you.
When we come back, we'll analyze the other side of that Panthers game, the Jaguars, because they have a new starting quarterback here tonight. We break it down and go live on television here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.